Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, episode 152. This is the show that brings together geeks and nerds from across the fandomverse to analyze the news and discuss your favorite TV, movies, comics, and books. This is the news roundup for the last week of January 2018. Actually, the last day of January 2018. But first, he's legendary anchorman, Nick English.
You stay.
No, that pauses in the wrong spot.
Classy.
Wrong spot.
Fandomverse.
And this is Weekend Update with Jeff Dumas.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I got a snickle out of Jeff. That's all that matters.
And live from the Fandomverse, I am Brandon Ushio.
I do appreciate you taking my observation and turning it on its head. It's clever.
Well, you know, yeah, there we go.
And now that I've ruined the joke.
You know, humor's always better when you explain it.
It is. I've noticed that.
That's how it works, right?
In my
See, this was okay. Funny because in a previous episode, never mind.
All right. Well, guys, we are going to, like Nick said, take something and twist it a little bit. We're going to twist our format a little bit. So we're going to jump straight into the news. Sponsored by Colton. Head over to patreon.com/fandompodcast to find out more. Okay. So speaking of explaining jokes, we have a joke to explain because apparently none of us understood that it was a joke. Last week, we talked about how Danny McBride was going to be starring in a Crocodile Dundee movie called Dundee in 2018 that even had an IMDb page and a trailer and all that fun stuff. Well, apparently, this is a marketing campaign that Australia is putting together for the Super Bowl. And so it's not actually a movie that's going to be coming out. And
so are they just promoting Australia?
Yeah, this is promoting tourism in Australia.
Oh, because they got a lot of like big name actors to jump on board for this.
So, I mean, you've got Chris Hemsworth.
Thor?
You've got Hugh Jackman.
Wolverine?
Yeah, Thor and Wolverine are in Australia. That's why it's so dangerous to go down.
They need Australia.
They need Nicole Kidman. She's from Australia, right?
How much do you want to bet? Because here's the thing. This is all for a Super Bowl commercial, essentially. And they pulled out all the stops. And I'm going to say, I've watched this latest one with Chris Hemsworth that so came funny. Out. And it is exactly what you were saying. This Danny McBride has no machismo at all. Like, he is just this loser guy. And he gets off the bus. And Chris Hemsworth is like, you're Dundee? Dundee? You? And he's like, oh, what do you expect? Because, you know, He was born and raised in Los Angeles. And, yeah, that last Crocodile Dundee movie was something else. But, all right. Yeah, so it's an elaborate marketing plan.
I really wonder, I mean, I would love to know if tourism spikes.
Like, or plummets.
Or anything. I mean, I want to know those numbers. Unfortunately, I don't think I will ever get to know. Because this intrigues me a lot now. And I mean, it's funny how many people online are like, too bad this is not really a movie. I would totally see this. And it's mainly just because it's like all of these huge, big name actors that would never sign on.
You're saying
this,
you wouldn't
probably.
See a movie with Chris Hemsworth and Hugh Jackman. And also, I guess, Danny McBride's there too.
Well, and there's like,
two out of three ain't bad.
Sounds like the future of the MCU to me.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Oh, now I'm sad.
Oh, what could Danny McBride play? He could be...
I don't know. I mean, you got... what's his name? He's always with Will Ferrell.
John C. Reilly.
Yeah, John C. Reilly. You had him in the NovaCore in like a completely serious role.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, Danny McBride, they with the MCU, they could really put him anywhere.
He could be a serious role. He could be a scientist somewhere or...
He could be in the Green Lantern Corps.
Okay,
he could be Guy Gardner.
Weren't we talking MCU? Jeez.
All right. I was just waiting. I was just seeing.
Although Danny McBride as Guy Gardner kind of sounds awesome.
they would have to fix his hair, though.
Because DC can't really, you know, screw it up any more than they already have.
They were, did I ever tell you the story about how in Kid Con, the people who made the set for the superhero racing were basically making it like Gotham? And then they added Avengers Tower, Stark Tower in there. And they did it specifically to see how many dads would be like, Oh, you know, that's
it was
that's,
intentional. That's terrible.
Yeah, it was completely intentional. I mean, it's, you know, it, Kid Con at Comic-Con, they know what they're doing.
Did you know Stark Tower is the biggest continuity error in all of the MCU? Like, it's only there when it decides to be. It's never in any of the Marvel shows. There's a scene in Homecoming where it's not there, even though the tower is clearly a big part of the story. It's just, it bugs me.
Well, you know, it's kind of like Iron Man. It's some fancy technology that's there only when it wants to be.
Hey, you know, I just think it has a perception filter in it so people can't see it if they don't want it to.
That's it. That is it.
It's part of the tech of the same, like, airplane tech.
If we didn't have, like, 1,000 more news stories, I'd argue with you on this one, but it's not worth the breath.
We do have a lot of news stories. Speaking about perception and the way that you see things, Wonder Woman 2, the sequel to Wonder Woman, in case you were wondering what that 2 meant.
Wonder Woman also.
Breaking news. The second Wonder Woman is called Wonder Woman Also. You heard it.
You heard it first here, people. Yes. So the PGA, which is the Producers Guild of America, they announced their anti-sexual harassment guidelines on January 19th. And Wonder Woman 2 will be the first to adopt these. Basically, it's designed to prevent sexual harassment and eliminate it from the workplace, which is obviously the ideal situation. It outlines ways on how to report things, report incidents, and it's important for victims and witnesses to know how and where they can do it without being punished. So, I mean, Wonder Woman 2, there was the talk about how Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman. I guess
she's Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. She's Wonder Woman. Okay. Gal Gadot, she did not want to work with Brett Ratner on that because of the allegations against him.
He's a jerk.
Yeah, pretty much.
Allegedly, I wasn't there. I guess legally we should say allegedly, but he was kind of a jerk.
From what we've been told, he's a jerk. And because of the way they felt about it, Brett Ratner is no longer attached to the movie. So, yeah, they removed the Rat Pack. They removed Rat Pack and Dune Entertainment from the financing. So, yeah. So, way to go, Wonder Woman. I dare one of you to say that this is a bad move.
Wait, what will I get if I dare you? Do I have to defend the point, or do I just say it's a bad move?
Probably a lot of hate mail.
Do I have to defend
a lot less respect in a lot of listeners' viewpoint?
No, hold on. Do I have to defend the reasoning, or do I just have to say I think it's a bad move?
Because I don't know.
If I don't have to defend myself, I'll just say it's bad. But if I have to defend myself, I'm not going to do it. And I've just said it's bad a lot in a lot of sentences that can be taken out of context. And I think I'm going to stop talking now. It's about time for something like this.
I wonder if that should be Jeff's catchphrase.
All right. Next news is we have Ryan Reynolds apparently is going to be starring in a Clue remake.
Finally.
So, I mean, we talked about this about a year ago about how they were going to remake Clue, and they were a bunch of no-name people that were attached to it.
Did that ever happen, or did they just nix it, or what?
Nope, it never happened. So, I mean, it's one of those things that they were probably trying to get done but couldn't get the rights. So, apparently, in addition to Detective Pikachu, Ryan Reynolds is going to be in the remake of Clue.
This makes me actually okay, I can see that. One of the most hilarious guys in, you know, movies right now. Mm-hmm. I'd be okay. I mean,
yeah, if Clue were being made for the first time, not a remake, he'd be the perfect cat. He'd be in the cast. He was one of those. He's a comedic actor, you know.
So who do you think he will be in the cast? Do you think he's going to be Wadsworth?
I don't know.
Or do you think he's going to be Mr. Green? Or
he's going to be Mr. Body. No, I don't know.
I would laugh so hard if he was just like a dead body.
They hired Ryan Reynolds to be a dead guy.
You're Mr. Body.
I could see them doing that.
I could see Ryan Reynolds. I could see them saying, "Hey, we want you to be Wadsworth." And he's like, "You know what would be hilarious? If you hired me and made all this news and you make me show up for like half a second."
He's the singing telegram.
No, I was going to say he's Mrs. White, but
okay.
Or Mrs. Peacock.
Go ahead and do that.
Oh, so. Mrs. Peacock.
He's going to be Mr. Green, so he can
He's the detective at the end that's like the Jehovah's Witness that when and he just shows up and he's like, yeah. Well, there's like four endings, three endings.
I know.
There was a fourth I've read they never released.
Involved Satan and Jehovah's Witnesses and all.
So, I mean, if they don't do the whole secret ending thing, then they
have to. If they don't, then I literally am going to riot. I will go personally to every Twitter feed and say, wrong decision, and that's all I'll write. Hashtag Clue remake.
I don't think that's how Twitter works, but you try that.
I'm personally going to each Twitter, and I'm going to mention them.
Knocking on every person on Twitter.
No, I'm going to go to each actor or person involved.
Okay, that makes much more sense.
All right, we just had to give you a hard time. Here's what I'm interested in is how this plays out with the Disney acquisition. Is this Ryan Reynolds saying, well, so you look at this, it looks like Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who've worked with Ryan Reynolds before, are going to be working with him on Clue. It sounds like they're directing and he's producing. But was this Ryan Reynolds saying, I want to get this done and we have to do it before Disney takes over so I can do it my way? Or is this Ryan Reynolds saying, like, hey, Disney?
I wouldn't be surprised if this is Ryan Reynolds playing ball so they don't screw with Deadpool.
Yeah, and that's the next option
right there. Definitely could be the case.
He's saying, like, look, I'll do your Clue. I'll read whatever script is put in front of me. Just don't PG-13 Deadpool.
So, and that's, I mean, literally, it could be either way. And so I mean, it'll make lots of money. That's just how it is. Based off of nostalgia, it will make lots of money. I have a secret to admit. I don't really enjoy Clue.
You probably shouldn't have said that into a microphone that's being recorded.
Right. Well, here's the thing.
I'm out. Thing.
I had a high school girlfriend Nick. Who loved it, and things didn't end so well with her. And so, like, a lot of the memories that I had with this high school girlfriend have become tainted a little bit. So
I hate her.
Nick, it was Lena. It was Lena.
It wasn't.
Whoa.
No, I would know that.
No.
I just
plus I wouldn't care because I win.
Okay. All right. I was like, don't make this weird, Jeff. Don't make Nick be all like Brandon dated. No,
see, I have the same attitude that I have about any ex-boyfriend or person that Lena dated. I win.
Okay.
You have to admit, though, my joke worked on many levels because you see, they both went to high school together, and then also
explaining jokes.
Hashtag oh, are we going back jokes. To the thing that we've been doing all episode long?
Hashtag explaining jokes, because that's all a right. thing Jeff on our podcast. Yeah, I think it should be singled out to Jeff. So hashtag Jeff explains the joke.
Every week we'll have a new joke for Jeff to explain to us.
Oh, that sounds like too much work. Don't turn it into homework. That ruins the fun.
I'm sure it'll just up. Let's just keep this a thing. I'm sure it'll happen.
Now I need to make a sound effect that I can put on the soundboard so I can be ready when Jeff explains the joke.
You don't have to make a sound effect.
No, I'm pretty sure I do. Pretty sure I do.
I if he didn't, then I would tweet him personally on his Twitter. See, I'm going to explain that one. Jeff, can you explain why that was funny?
Wait, hold on. You want them to tweet me that Brandon needs to make it? Okay, whatever.
No, I'm going to tweet Brandon personally if he does not make the sound on the soundboard.
I don't get that. Can you explain that to me, Jeff?
I refuse to. No, because this has gotten away from me. Also, because I switched pages based on the next news story to check on something.
All right. That next news story is that in the world where we have all original movies, one movie stands out above all of the rest and is coming out with its sixth installment, Mission Impossible
Leonard
6.
Part 6?
Mission Impossible 6, oh, Superman's Impossible. Mustache.
Nope, that's not the title.
That's not the title? Not the title? Oh, man, I got
no.
I got to go change
Apparently, there was a helicopter scene where Tom Cruise kind of fell out of it, so they decided to go with the name Fallout.
Is this a post-apocalyptic, like, Warzone.
I don't know, but if they start drinking Nuka Cola, I'm going to call.
I think they should just collect bobbleheads.
Bottle caps.
Bobbleheads.
And bottle caps.
And bottle caps, yeah.
I've never actually played a Fallout, but I know the bottle caps are a thing. I didn't know bobbleheads were a thing.
Yeah, the bobbleheads are, yeah, they're a big deal. Bottle caps are currency. Bottle caps are currency in that game, so.
Okay. I knew there was a connection.
So does anybody think that Tom Cruise has a death wish? Because, like, he does all of his own stunts, and there, I mean, this picture with the helicopter is pretty insane.
He's trying to gain credibility again.
When did he lose it?
Oh, a long time ago in my book. I haven't seen a Tom Cruise movie in a long time.
When he jumped on Oprah's couch. When he jumped on Oprah's couch.
It might have been right around that time that I was just
But then he strapped himself to the outside of an airplane and jumped out another
building. See, and I never saw that. I never saw that show. Never saw that.
Did you not see Mission Impossible?
I don't think so.
The fourth one?
What do you think that is? A Bond film?
I know, like, that's the thing is, like, I love the first Mission Impossible. Like, I love that movie. So maybe I should watch it. I think it's just
Ghost Protocol's pretty good. Then lower your standards for Rogue Nation.
See, and that's, I think that's the one that I haven't seen is Rogue Nation. I think I did see Ghost Protocol one time. And
the one with Jeremy Renner? The first one with Jeremy Renner?
Yeah, I don't remember it very well.
Anyway, a lot of people want to see this movie because it is you have it on the draft, Nicholas.
I have Mission Impossible 6.
Yes.
Cool.
I mean, no.
Today I went to dinner at Texas Roadhouse, and I saw somebody there, and they're like, "Hey, we're going to a movie after this." I'm like, "Oh, what are you going to see?" And they're like, "Maze Runner 3." I was like, "Good for you." I heard it's great. And actually, a guy I work with said he went and saw it too, and he said it was a good movie. So I think everybody should go see Maze Runner 3.
It's currently at 45%.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's okay. Ooh. That's okay, because there's a lot of movies that the critics don't like that people can enjoy just for the fun of.
When I took my mom to see Greatest Showman, she asked, "Oh, who has Maze Runner? I want to see that one." I looked at her and said, "You can't see that." And she got all mad, like, "I can see whatever movies just because they're not on your list." And I said, "No, Mom, you haven't seen the sequel. Like, you've only seen the one Maze Runner. This is the third one. You can't miss the third one."
And apparently there are some really important things in the second one that they explain a lot of stuff.
So, all right. So everyone go rent Maze Runner 1 and 2 and go see Maze Runner 3. And then you can go see Black Panther.
Well, actually, in between there, we have 50 Shades and Peter Rabbit, but you'll hear about that.
I don't recommend either of those.
Oh, just because one is about a filthy subject matter and the other is based on Twilight. Yes, I made that joke.
Wait, I don't understand it.
This thing. Well, because you see, you really want me to try to explain a 50 Shades joke right now, Brandon?
All right. We don't have enough time for that.
Anyway, I was thinking that's not what you want on this podcast. But anyway.
Well, you can do it in a family-friendly manner.
Yeah, but I'm not
going to. I have faith in you. Faith in you. But you're not going to? Okay, all right. Then we'll move on. We will move on. So we have some more casting news for Daredevil Season 3. Apparently, they are going to bring a new actress into the show who is... her name is Joanne Whaley, Wally, W-H-A-L-L-E-Y, Wally. I'm going to go with Wally because it's W-H-A-L-L-E, Joanne Wally, and I'm probably wrong. But so she's going to be on here, and from what I've heard, she is going to be playing Maggie Murdoch.
And Maggie Murdoch, the nun.
She's going to be playing Sister Maggie, is what she's credited as on IMDb. So
Maggie...
If you are vaguely familiar with anything Daredevil, you probably know that's Maggie Murdoch. But if you're not familiar, it's just Sister Maggie, and you're not supposed to know that yet.
Well, nobody told me that.
Unless you watch Defenders with the biggest Daredevil fan in the world, and he immediately said, "That's his mom!" So, unless you did that, yeah. Isn't this the Born Again storyline? Which I only know because people keep saying, "Maggie, they're going to do Born Again."
Yeah.
I don't think I've read that one.
I don't think I've ever read. Hold on a second, Luke. Cover your ears. I don't think I've ever read a Daredevil comic. Now I just realized I told him to cover his ears. He's probably wearing headphones. Probably made it worse for myself.
He can hear you so much better because he blocked out all the outside noise.
Yep.
Oh man.
Hey, okay, I've got an issue that you could start with, Jeff.
You're going to lend me your issue of Daredevil? Is that something you're going to trust leave your house?
Oh, no. I thought you were saying you had some issues, Nick. And I was all like, is Jeff opening like a therapy clinic now? Like, is he going to start with some issues?
If I'm going to open therapy, I'm not starting with my brother-in-law.
I have some issues with your sister.
See, I've got this big problem. It's this guy I work with. His name's Little Jeff.
Yep. I had a, never mind. I was going to say a work joke, but that's not going to work.
All right. So Daredevil season 3, Joanne Whaley. I pronounced it differently this time too.
If you're listening, tell us how to pronounce your name.
Yes, please do. And then tweet at us and tell everyone else that you listen too.
Also, you're welcome to join us.
Please do. We can do a live reaction podcast. Yeah. All right, that's going nowhere.
You seem to be floundering on how to end the story, so I'm just
I mean, all that work right there, that's not coming up with anything. So
hey, you know, we should get this next guy on too.
Who, Harry Potter?
I'm sure he listens too, or the author, or lots of things. So apparently we are going to be getting a new book in the Wizarding World, or we have a new book in the Wizarding World, which is Quidditch Through the Ages, but it is it is being read by somebody. Let's see. I'm looking at his IMDb. He's credited with this guy named Rick Grimes. I don't know if you guys... Andrew Lincoln?
Oh, the Love Actually guy.
Yes, that's him.
Yes.
Wait, I got that right. That was the right movie?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
With Keira Knightley.
Never actually seen the movie.
He's in love. He's in love with Keira Knightley. He's not creepy. He has a gesture of love towards somebody who just got married.
I only know about this through a Cracked video. So they were twisting it in a... It was kind of creepy the what he did.
Well, he videotaped her during her wedding and pretty much only her. And then he got embarrassed when she like took the video and was like, wait, why are you only videoing me during this entire thing? And then she's like, oh, you like me. Sorry. And then she's all confused and she leaves. And then he basically... I mean, you've seen the memes of him like holding up the thing. Yeah, he basically just says, you're great. And you know what? That's awesome. Let's be friends kind of idea.
All right.
And they end it with that. But it is kind of creepy because he's like, I really like this girl. And he's videotaping her. But he's doing it in a way that isn't creepy stalkery because, at least he apologizes.
Is there a way that's not creepy stalkery?
I don't know.
Apparently, this way.
The way they filmed it was kind of endearing. A little bit. I don't know. It wasn't like he was focusing on anything in particular.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about this.
I guess that's true.
Back to the book for a second.
I'm sorry.
Nick's here's like, the thing. Hey, about he this... was kind of creepy.
Yeah, he was creepy.
All right. That's so here's the thing about the book. Let's go back to the book. So this is a Wizarding World book, and we all know that J.K. Rowling likes to tap into British actors. For work.
So you're saying this whole book isn't going to be read with a really thick Southern drawl?
Right. And
Quidditch.
Why is he talking about like things in the ocean? He always yells.
That's the coral.
He's always yelling about like where Nemo lives.
I want to make a joke right now, but Walking Dead hasn't premiered
yet. I would like very much to hear what he sounds like without that thick Southern accent. So, I mean, it could be interesting. Maybe I'll get this one. Maybe I'll get it on Audible. Maybe I'll use a code to start a new account which you can get at fandompodcast.com/audible. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. You have
I may
no
or
shame.
May not be affiliated with that.
Are
actually,
you saying that you still haven't used our own affiliate link?
No. I could just make as many email addresses as I want.
Oh.
Have no
that
shame.
That would just mean you'd have to like log in and whatnot 1,000 times.
Yeah, like if it, that would be terrible. Like every account that you have only has 2 books in it because you get 2 free books as opposed to the 1 free book.
Can't you just like put like a .1 on your Gmail account or something like that?
Yeah, but every time you want to listen to the book, you still have to log in with that email. Why are we trying to, why does it sound like we're talking people out of using our Audible link?
Because we don't want them to scam Audible. That would be wrong. That was a joke. And I'm explaining it now because Jeff fell down on his responsibilities.
And we have to explain a joke.
Yep. All right.
Yep. Because we haven't done that yet this episode.
Hashtag Jeff explains a joke.
Brandon, you were saying it was hard to find titles for episodes.
Not this time. Not this time. I know what's happening this time. I mean, you think this is going to go away? This is going to last as long or longer than your pole dancing career did. Aren't you excited?
He didn't dance. Well, he worked the pole.
I hung banners on poles for a community college.
But you worked on a pole is what you said. And then all of a sudden we could take that whatever way we wanted to. And you said it in front of your sister. And I mean, really, you
think she was going to, Sandy,
you think she was going to let that one pass? So, all right, let's keep rolling on the news. Ursula Le Guin, the author Ursula Le Guin passed away at the age of 88 years old. So she just recently passed away. She is the author of a lot of books. The one that probably influenced me the most was The Wizard of Earthsea. This was the first Magical Academy style book that I had ever read. This predated Harry Potter. This predated all of the other ones that I had ever seen. Because, I mean, wizards have to learn their magic somewhere, right? And so The Wizard of Earthsea was the one that made me think about wizards the way that I think about wizards. Go read that one. That's a good one.
I've heard you talk about it a few times. I should put it on my Audible account.
Hey, if you didn't have an Audible account, no, never mind. I'm not going to, you guys are already heard the code.
Also, I was thinking, okay, when did Nick get an Audible account?
No, I have one. I just don't have anything on it.
Well, you should have at least two books.
I have two books. I have the Intergalactic Insurance Agent guy book.
Tom Stranger.
I have that on there. And I think there's one other one. I don't remember what the other one is.
So,
well, there's your homework.
Because Lena has, I think, well, you know, I don't know. Anyway. We don't need to pay for two.
Yeah, you got one. Well, you would if you liked different kinds of books, but you guys like similar things. So, if you are wondering what kind of inspired Ursula Le Guin, she said, "Once I learned to read, I read everything. I read all the famous fantasies, Alice in Wonderland, Wind in the Willows, and Kipling. I adored Kipling's Jungle Book. And then when I got older, I found Laura Dunsany, and he opened up a whole new world, the world of pure fantasy. And pretty much all of the classic science fiction and fantasy and, you know, talked about Asimov and all those things." So
John Carter of Mars? Tarzan?
Probably. I would imagine that inspired her. So, okay. Ursula Le Guin, that sad story, but amazing author. She was 88 years old, so.
She lived a good long life.
Good long life. Impacted a lot of people. Now to jump into some news that is not some literature that's probably not going to last as long as Ursula Le Guin. Apparently we are returning to Cantobite in a Star Wars DJ comic. I think in a comic.
It's called DJ Most Wanted, right?
DJ context, Most Wanted.
It sounds like we're getting a story about a space DJ. And it sounds like the worst book ever.
Space DJs. DJs in space. Do-do-do-do. The system is down.
Wow. Now that was a callback. Or deep cut, I guess it'd be that. Wow.
Deep cut. Okay. So when we talked about Star Wars The Last Jedi, we talked about DJ, who is the character who is in the cell with the other characters, because I actually had somebody contact me last week, say, "Don't spoil it. I haven't seen it yet."
All right. You have a predetermined amount of time that we'll figure out
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, we'll figure it out at some point. DJ is a character that actually, by saying DJ, you don't know who he is because they never call him DJ in the movie. But he's kind of a they never call him DJ. They never call him DJ. And so we just know it's
Benicio del Toro's character. He's this generation's Ewok. Because we only know it's called Ewok through literature, and now
apparently in this one shot that they're coming out with, DJ is going to be causing trouble on Cantobite, and part of the fun of the story is that they get to explore not just the character but the world as well. And so the writer says, who wouldn't want to spend more time on Cantobite? And
I'm raising that, my
I respond, there are a lot of nerds who have come out and said the Cantobite storyline was the one that they liked the least. Now, I get why it was in there, but that seems more like an extended cut kind of a scene.
Dude, but all I want is to know a little bit more about that little boy.
Yeah, that little boy seems to be the only reason the Cantobite scene made it through.
And if there's even like just a little bit of info about that little boy, I'm in.
So Nick is... Never mind.
Wow, I think I know where you're going with that. And I am so glad.
Family friendly.
Yep, I gotta stop.
I want to learn more about his. I want to learn more about his story.
Yeah, we know. We're trying to segue out of whatever Brandon was trying to joke.
And every time Nick keeps talking, it just makes it easier
Dig up. I'm assuming this story is probably going to end with him being put in jail and then meeting the characters on Cantobite. That's my
prediction. How about we do some better Star Wars news? Carrie Fisher, who played Princess Leia, who passed away last year, she posthumously won a Grammy for spoken word for her latest book, The Princess Diarist. I said that right. I keep thinking about the Disney movie, The Princess Diaries, which I'm sure that was a playoff of.
Dude, I should get that on audio.
Yeah, I wonder where you could get that. If only there were a promo code we could use. All right. Jeff, can you explain that one for us?
Nope.
All right. So.
I would, but we've used the Audible joke on like 7 ads so far, so I refuse to explain it.
I think it was actually 3. But
I exaggerate for effect.
And I think they were news stories that we kind of turned into ads.
I exaggerate for effect. Sorry, I got distracted looking at my phone. The stupid Marco Polo app made a noise. Lena. Sorry, that's for her in like 2 days. Anyway, Carrie Fisher, I didn't know the Grammys gave. I didn't know you could get a thing for your audiobook. That's cool.
Yeah, they do. They do a spoken word Grammy.
Because I know there's some awards that don't get televised, like best comedy album or something. I remember Weird Al won a Grammy last year, but it wasn't actually televised, so At Midnight let him do his acceptance speech on their show.
In 2015, Joan Rivers actually won a Grammy for her spoken word album posthumously.
Isn't it posthumously?
Like I said, I can't speak.
If you know how to correctly pronounce that word, feedback.
Write it. Write it on our fan book page so that we can know how it's supposed to be done.
Okay, I got one question. What's fan book?
Fan book.
It's new social media. You said you were making a new social media.
Oh, did I say that? Oh,
that's awesome. I said
fan book. What the heck?
Maybe that's what our fans should be called. The fan books.
The fan books?
I don't know.
All right. Okay. You guys better write in with some suggestions or else you're stuck with the ideas that Nick and I and Jeff have.
My only requirement for it is that we don't have to say two things. Like, I don't want to say
boys and girls.
Yeah. Like,
only requirement for it is it's not what Brandon said.
I just feel like it wasn't Brandon's idea. Say fanboys and fangirls. Like, it could be the fan people. But that sounds stupid. So
the people who cover the planet
to be
fan.
Unisex, like the fanners unisex. Or something, or the not the Dahmers.
Fan. We're not
going to
assume your gender.
We don't want to call you the Dahmer Party.
what?
The Dahmers, like fandom.
Oh my
the
God.
Dahmers. That's how I got there.
Oh, now I actually kind of want to do that. Welcome to the show, Dahmers.
Shout out to the Dahmers.
Oh, it's late.
Hashtag Jeff explains a joke.
I haven't explained that one, but I'm not gonna. Look it up.
All right. So So, like I said, you guys better start sending in your suggestions or else you're stuck with what we do. And you might end up as the Dahmers.
If you don't want to be called Dahmers, suggest something better. Also, do they know they're supposed to be thinking of stuff?
No, I mentioned it one time.
Yeah.
But I might have cut it out. So maybe not. okay. send in some suggestions. I'm not going to cut this one out, probably.
So there's this place I drive by on the way home, and it's called the Dahmer Kebab. And I'm like,
what?
Never going there.
What?
Literally.
Why would you do that?
I don't
Dahmer
know.
Kebab with our head chef, Hannibal Lecter.
And every time I'm just like, nope. And the sad thing is it was one of my favorite sandwich places before. And like, I used to drive by and I'm like, I really got to go there one day. And then it closed, you know, like it always happens.
Wait, Joni's closed?
Joni's closed, but that's not what I'm talking about. It was actually Gandolfo's. Okay. Gandolfo's. There's not very many of them left in the valley. But I was like, oh, yeah, I could pick that up on the way home for dinner. And then, like, literally maybe a week later, it closed down. And then it became Dahmer Kebab.
Wow.
I was like, somebody's out of touch.
Are they not doing phrasing anymore? Is that what this is?
You need to bring phrasing back into the rotation.
I'm sure it means something in like Nepal or something different, but yeah. I mean, at least kind of have like a, hey, does this sound like a good idea? Or maybe even the person that was like, maybe you shouldn't name your restaurant this when they're applying for their permit. Like, I don't know. Like, it just seems...
Yeah. All right. So next news story. I have no transition for that.
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
I don't know how we're gonna just dive right in.
So we have this movie that got pushed back. I mean, nobody really cares that it got pushed back, but it was called The New Mutants, and it's a horror, straight up horror film, straight up horror film from what everybody was saying, and apparently they are going to make this thing a hard PG-13, hardest PG-13. Ever made.
How are they going to compete with Titanic?
It's the best. It's the hardest PG-13 movie ever.
Were you really just doing what I think you were doing?
No, I don't. I have no idea. What was I doing, Jeff?
I'm not going to explain a joke that I don't know if you were doing or not. But if you were doing what I think you were doing, you need to work on your impressions.
Oh no, I know that. But okay. You knew what I was doing. So do I? Do I?
A bad impression is still an impression, I guess.
If you knew what I was doing, is it a bad impression?
Were you the one saying we have to do this quickly off the rails so you can today. Edit and go to bed tonight?
I was just thinking like the same thing.
Something like that.
New Mutants is going to be PG-13, but it's not until 2019. PG-13. Who cares?
I think this is a bad move.
I think all this means is it cut out one topless scene. I think that's what this means essentially.
Or or they're like cutting away from anything that could be bloody. But I guess I don't know.
Because like, are you guys more likely to see it now that it's PG-13 versus when it was rated R?
No.
Nope.
I'm going to see this.
You know what I laugh about?
If I ever see this movie, it's going to be. At home while I'm doing Xbox. Something else. Yeah. Like, so that I don't have to watch it. And I can just be like, wait, something happened there. Somebody screamed. Maybe someone died. Okay, I don't have to watch it. I'll just listen.
What I laugh really hard about this is the interview that Josh Boone, who's the director, had about this being PG-13, actually wouldn't fly in a PG-13 movie because here's the quote. He says, there are no costumes. That alone makes it different. They can't be with the other kids at the X Mansion. They're too up. So the quote, the interview where he says it's going to be PG-13 isn't even PG-13. So anyway, okay. I thought that was interesting. The line starts here.
The line must be drawn here, no further.
Well, how was that one? Was that
better? That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Yeah, that was an exceptional Captain Picard from Star Trek First Contact.
Okay. All right. Exceptional or acceptable? Because those are two very different things.
Acceptable.
Oh,
not exceptional. No,
I thought you said exceptional, and I was all like, "Oh, I did a good job." Nope, I'm just acceptable. Okay, I get
work on it, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Hey, speaking of movies in our draft that haven't been pushed back to 2019,
nice.
Who has Ant-Man and the Wasp got a trailer and a poster?
I think Jeff has this one, right?
No,
it's Brandon.
This is Brandon's movie.
Yeah, I don't have it. Okay.
Yep.
I think all three of us got a Marvel or a MCU movie.
Yeah, I probably got the one that's going to make the least amount of money. I mean, the trailer is cool and all, but Ant-Man now has the best guy in the chair ever. That was the first thing that I noticed.
Oh, Hank Pym?
Yeah, Hank Pym is the guy in the chair. So, I mean,
there's a point in the joke in the trailer where Ant-Man says, "Wait, you gave her wings? Yeah, and lasers. I guess you didn't have that technology when you made my suit." No, I did.
And why is that funny?
No, shut up.
All right.
All right.
If I have to explain that joke, you're on your own.
All right. Link in the trailer. You got to watch it. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. But more than watching the trailer, you have to share it with all your friends and say this is the best movie that's going to come out all year, and everybody has to go see it. That's just, you have to do that. The first Ant-Man was amazing, so...
I think it was amazing.
I'm not saying it wasn't really good. I think it missed
it. Was amazing, dang it. Because then that way the sequel's going to make more money.
This trailer was just a lot of, hey, look what we can do with the shrinking technology now.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of it. It's like, hey, and we're Marvel, so we have special effects money.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's right. We have a budget.
Take that, Superman's mustache.
Or lack thereof. Hey, speaking of DC.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Speaking of DC, DC Comics, they tried to capitalize on the placement of the real world Doomsday clock, which is the clock that is a fictional clock It is fictional. But it's a metaphorical clock that the minutes to midnight tell you how close we are to nuclear Armageddon. And so apparently for the first time in years and the furthest that we've ever been, closest that we've ever been to midnight on the real Doomsday clock, DC decided to be all like, hey, let's capitalize on the trending hashtag of Doomsday clock. And they tweeted, let's see if I can find it. I mean, they took them all down really quick.
It was something like, let's keep our mind off of the real one and...
So
yeah, it was something along those lines where let's keep our mind off the real one and, you know, go out and
buy our comic books. Don't worry about buy our comics, nuclear destruction.
Yeah, I should have saved that tweet because I should have known that it was no longer going to be available by the time we recorded. Basically, he said, get your mind off the real Doomsday clock by going and reading Doomsday Clock number 3, now available at your local comic book retailer.
Which I did buy the Doomsday Clock number 3.
So, yeah, you know what?
I haven't read one or two yet, but I have all three.
Okay. Oh, I found it. Take your mind off the real Doomsday Clock with Doomsday Clock number 3 out now. I wasn't too far off.
So you mean you got it pretty dead on?
Pretty much. I mean, local comic book retailer versus out now. I forgot that DC doesn't care about local retailers. I mean, beside that, I got it. Okay. So, yeah, they got blasted on Twitter for it.
Also, and I heard that story got delayed. So now it's bi-monthly, not monthly. So,
well, either way. Yeah. So DC did tweet, sincere apologies for this morning's tweet. It was not meant to offend or minimize the seriousness of today's events.
Yes, it was.
I think it was.
It was.
And then it didn't work out. So they had to apologize. So now that we know that DC is an amazing marketer, I'm all excited for this new Superman live action prequel series, which is not Krypton. So
it's a
they announced a prequel starring Lois Lane and Lex Luthor.
So it doesn't have Superman in it?
Nope.
So it's
called
story.
Metropolis.
Oh, it's just the story of Lois Lane when she was young and Lex Luthor when he had hair.
So it's a story of a superhero before he became the superhero and showing the grittiness of his city. Where have I heard that before?
Smallville?
I was thinking Gotham, but, you know.
So
Smallville at least gave us Superman.
Well, kind no, it of. Gave us the blur. It gave us the blur. Very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, we never really ever got Superman.
It got to Superman. The very last minute. The very last scene is him ripping open his shirt. I heard somewhere Tom Welling doesn't look good in the Superman suit, so they never put him in it.
Yeah, the shape of his body or something like that. But yeah.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, 13 episodes exploring exploring Metropolis before Clark Kent comes to town. Okay.
I guess it just depends on who's cast. If they get good people, it might be worth watching.
I'll watch it if they cast Michael Rosenbaum as Lex Luthor again.
So here's the thing. It's set to begin production later this year and will debut in 2019 on the currently unnamed DC branded direct to consumer digital service.
It's only on CBS All Access DC version.
I actually have more hope for it now because I don't know. I don't know why that makes me more hopeful for it, but
because it's a web short and they don't need to have as many people who like it.
And they're also going to be trying really hard to make it good so that people will want to go and buy their DC.
It's going to be, they're going to try to make it come for the Young Justice, stay for the not Krypton Metropolis. That's what it's called. Like, wait, what's it called? So forgetful. Right. I forgot it was already
Young Justice. I totally forgot.
Is that why that was funny?
Going to be on there.
All right, so we have...
Now you just brought me down, Jeff, reminding me that Young Justice is on there.
Let's bring you up. Tom Hanks is going to be starring as Mr. Rogers in a... Okay, here's another word that I need pronounced for me. Is it biopic or is it biopic? Because it's like a biography picture.
I say biopic.
I've always heard it biopic.
I haven't.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always heard it Chameleon. Is it Chameleon?
I've only read it. I say biopic. If you think we're wrong, keep it to yourself. This is not really something we need to keep an argument over.
You know, maybe. Okay, so here we go. You Are My Friend, which is the title taken from one of Mr. Rogers' signature songs, and inspired by a real-life friendship between Rogers and a journalist named Tom Junod. So, I think it could be... interesting to see.
I think Tom Hanks could play anybody, you know.
I mean, it's Tom Hanks. He's Mr. Nice Guy playing Mr. Nice Guy. It's pretty straightforward.
I mean, if I was a Catholic, I would put him into sainthood. Like I would if I was like a colonel or something, like that man was awesome, Mr. Rogers.
Like Colonel Sanders?
Cardinal.
Oh, Cardinal. I thought you said Colonel.
To be fair, it sounded like you said Colonel.
Okay. Well, I might have said Colonel. Because I remember the colonel with his wee beady eyes and that smug look around his face. But.
Thank you, the Musketeers.
Cardinal. Hey,
All right.
If I could vote him into sainthood, like he would be like first on the ballot for me.
Mr. Rogers or Tom Hanks?
Mr. Rogers.
Okay.
He was one of the best human beings.
Well, Tom Hanks couldn't do it because he'd probably find some conspiracy about it and find the Holy Grail.
Okay, breaking news, people. Breaking news. Roswell is going to be rebooted on the CW.
What's Roswell?
It's a show. It's a teen drama about aliens.
Oh, yeah. Like Roswell, New Mexico. Okay.
Yep. Okay, anyway, that was a show that I remembered being on the air and being a big deal because I think it was the WB at the time. Yeah. Anyway, that's what you get for scrolling through news stories when...
We're doing the news.
Yeah, when we're doing the news. So the last news story that we're going to talk about tonight is that Redbox is suing Disney after Disney sued Redbox. But Redbox is claiming that Disney is having copyright misuse. Not Disney. Disney doesn't even care about copyright. Oh, wait.
I found another news story when you're done with this.
Okay. Continue. All right. So Disney sued Redbox because Redbox got angry at Disney because Disney does not give them a bulk discount when they buy a lot of their DVDs like most every other DVD publisher does. And so Disney said, no, we are not going to let you have our DVDs for cheap, and made them buy the DVDs at full retail price. And so Redbox decided, well, we need to recoup some of these costs from these DVDs, and took the digital codes that were in all of those cases for the retail DVDs that they were forced to buy, and then they turned around and sold them.
That sounds illegal.
And Disney said, no. You can't sell those. So we are going to sue you for all the money you made from those and all the money you made from renting our movies, basically. And so now Redbox is filing a suit today against Disney, claiming that it is preventing the movie rental kiosk service from renting or selling its DVDs. It's claiming that it is preventing suppliers from selling Disney DVDs to Redbox, and that it's tainting its relationship with customers, making false claims that that Redbox cannot resell digital copies of movies. Technically, that's in the terms of service. You are not allowed to sell those codes. Lots of people do, but you're technically not allowed to.
Hypothetically, if you were given the code for free, illegal?
Technically, that is still not allowed. The code is, and this is why I don't like digital-only movies, because the code is just... is saying, here, you have a license to view this, and with a license to view it, they can say this is non-transferable. With the DVD itself, you have an argument called the rights of first ownership, meaning that you can sell something that physical that you own, but the code is not actually something physical you own. It's intellectual property that unlocks access on the server. And yeah, it's copyright stuff. It's terrible. And so Redbox is suing Disney. I mean, here's the thing. Redbox is going away with Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and even the Redbox digital streaming service.
And I hear DC has a streaming service now.
DC has a streaming service and Disney's going to have a streaming service. Redbox is going to be out of business here fairly soon.
I think it's going to do just enough because there are people who don't trust the internet enough to do Netflix. Like,
not
trust
yet.
Me, I work with plenty of them. I told a coworker, yeah, but they're all like
60.
Told a coworker he should get a phone, and he immediately gave me a big rant and said, "You know that big building out south? That's to track your cell phones." Okay, be crotchety, old man, whatever. Some people don't trust the internet.
So, the reason I threw this story in the doc was because this kind of goes to show the power that Disney has. Redbox is basically saying that Disney is making suppliers not want to work with Redbox, and Disney can make people do all sorts of stuff. We've talked about how they made
the movie theaters.
The movie theaters changed their revenue rates for The Last Jedi.
I'm confident Disney could make someone disappear if they wanted to.
And so as much as we love a lot of these properties that Disney is putting out, we need to also remember that maybe this Fox Disney thing is not the best idea. Maybe putting a big chunk of Hollywood's production under one company could come back to bite us at some point. I'm all for a free market, but I also want some competition. So if Disney is able to put Redbox out of business because they won't sell them discounted DVDs like other bulk purchasers that they do, or if they're able to put them out of business because they are telling their suppliers don't sell to Redbox, then Redbox's streaming service isn't going to be a thing. Now, and granted, Redbox's streaming service isn't going to be a thing because it's Redbox's streaming service. But who else could they do this to? Could they?
It's kind of a jerk move anyway.
Yeah, I mean
just it's like, well, no, we know that you want our movies. We're going to sell them to you for full price no matter what.
Yeah.
But everyone else is doing it. I don't know. Like, you could take it either way.
If they're buying it at retail for $20 to have the movie for $20 plus whatever handling stuff that Redbox has to do to make them rentable, that movie has to be rented 30 times before they break a profit on it. But if they don't have it, then people aren't going to go to the Redbox because Redbox doesn't have the movies that they want. So these Disney movies are expensive for Redbox.
I don't know about that, because I think a lot of people just go to the Red... Well, okay, anytime that I've got a Redbox, I try to find the movie I have, and then I get the app, and it tells me which one it's in. So I guess that argument doesn't make sense. But early on in the days, it was just go to the Redbox and see what's there, and then choose. You know, and if they don't have what you initially wanted, then you choose something else. But
yeah, that was early on. Nowadays, there's...
Now it's,
if you're not going to get something you want, you might as well just scroll through Netflix.
Yeah, like you look on the Redbox app and say, oh, it's not at the ones that are two blocks from my house. I'm not going farther than that. So let's go watch Star Wars Rebels for the third time.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is not as much about Redbox as it is about Disney using its dominant market position to harm competitors. And that's what I'm concerned about. I mean, right now it's in court, but we'll see what happens. All right, Jeff, what you said you found another news story?
Yes, it's quick. So, Nick, they just announced a reason for you to see Detective Pikachu. Bill Nighy just joined the cast.
The science guy?
Yes.
No.
One of the greatest voices of this last 10 years, I guess.
The man who absolutely loved Vincent Van Gogh. Or, you know, that one. Yes. Isn't that one indie movie about the pirates? What was it called?
What?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
I need to work on my Bill Nighy. I'm going to work on that one.
You do that.
Bill Nighy.
Not that one. Although,
I feel it in my fingers.
What?
I feel it in my toes. Christmas is all around me. And so the feeling grows.
I have no idea. I'm just going to cut this out.
No,
it's from Love Actually. It's actually from something we talked about before. Okay, Bill Nighy in that movie sings that song. He plays a washed up rock star that tries to make his career better by changing the words to I feel it in my fingers to Christmas. And he makes fun of himself, and it is hilarious, and it's one of the best parts of that movie.
All right.
Oh, neither of you have seen Love Actually?
No, I've never seen Love Actually.
No.
Oh, man. All right.
Okay, so remember how I said
There are people in our fans that have seen it, and they will like it.
All right. So I just wanted to make sure to thank William for sending in the story about Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers in the biopic. And remember how I said I was flipping the format on its head a little bit? Now, at this point, we're going to jump into feedback. So we got some feedback. In our previous episode, we asked for one 80s remake show that was bad, and Lena responded with Gem and the Holograms. Okay.
Thanks, Lena.
I remember when that was released, and I don't know anyone that saw it.
So, I know some people who saw it, and they were mad because it was nothing like the cartoon. Nothing like the cartoon. On our 150th episode Q&A, we were asked if there was a fan that we wanted to be a part of that we felt like we couldn't. Ryan Green responded to that in the comments on that Facebook post, and he said that he has wanted to become a Doctor Who fan, but he's a completionist, and so he's going to have a hard time with the 50 years of Doctor Who because he can't just jump in now. He has to go back and watch every episode.
He'd never be able to finish it because a lot of it got taped over.
Yep. There's a bunch of missing episodes. So,
sorry, Ryan. I guess you'll never be a Whovian.
So I mean, that right there is a sampler of all of the amazing feedback that we got on our Facebook post about the 150th episode. So be sure to head over to facebook.com/fandompodcast and check out the feedback that's going on there. You can respond to other people's comments. You can comment on your own. Our other social media that we use is Twitter, and William, he wrote into us over there. He was impersonating Phoenix Wright from the Nintendo DS game, and he has an objection. Just imagine him standing there and pointing, saying objection in anime style. Okay, so he says, the phrase Harry Potter was not previously used, referring to our word association game that we played last week. He says, the previous word used was Harry. Despite everyone knowing that it was a reference to Harry Potter, the phrase Harry Potter was not used. Nick, let the others call you out. Don't do it yourself. Basically, what he's saying here is no cop, no stop. Just keep going.
You know what, William? I won anyway.
Yeah, I was actually going to make a comment. Is this who does this help? Like, what? Am I supposed to be happy about this or mad? I forget the context.
No,
just stand
I
up for yourself, Nick. You're kind of shy.
Well, honestly, okay, I was the one that called everyone else out, so I didn't feel right not calling myself out when I realized that I had made the mistake. So I was just trying to have an even playing field. And I am not vindictive when I play games like that. I've learned that from my wife. She's helped. My Lena has this like she hates playing board games with people who are vindictive just for the pure act of being vindictive, or if they can gain any advantage, they do so. Like, I mean, it just bothers that somebody would be so competitive in that way that, you know. And I've never been that way. I mean, I'll just be completely honest. I've never been like, oh, I'm just going to take every advantage I can, even if it's not in the rules. Like, I try to make it fair.
But flipping over a Monopoly board or two, that's perfectly fine, right?
No, that was not me. That was my sister. And that's probably part of the reason why I am the way I am when I play games.
I've never flipped a game board. I should try it one of these days.
Jeff's like, I'm taking notes over here. Flip the game board. So you got to stand up.
There's a lot of the games I play are mine. So if I flip the game board, everyone playing will just be like, fine, you pick it up. And it's not worth the trouble.
You just have to choose a game that doesn't have a lot of pieces. It's like maybe one or two things you have to move. And you're like, I'm finally doing this.
I don't have a lot of those.
I'm not mad. I just want to flip the game board. Dang it.
It's like a single card at the very beginning of the game. You set down the one card. That's it. I'm tired. Just flip the card over. Then you could have the experience of doing it, Joe. There is a game on Steam called Tabletop Simulator.
Oh yeah.
Where you could do the same thing. And then you wouldn't have to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, but then I have to go buy that game and download it, and then I wouldn't get the satisfaction of doing it in front of somebody.
I mean, the thing that I miss the most of having like cell phones and digital phone sets and touch screens and stuff like that is you can't just slam the phone down on anyone anymore. It just doesn't work, or you're gonna break your phone. One of the two.
You can't hang up on them in a
There's something cathartic about slamming a handset down, flipping a physical game board over. But yeah. So, all right.
See, usually what I'll do is I'll push it and then just flip the phone, like spin it. And that gives me the same satisfaction. I'm like, I'm done with you.
All right. But you know who we're not done with, Nick? We are not done with the Dahmers out there.
I didn't bring it up again. I had a few chances.
I know. But
the Dahmers were warned. If they don't come up with a better name for themselves, this is the name.
So, I really hope not. I don't want to be associated with kebabs.
Hey, maybe they'll sponsor us.
All right, Dahmers. Hey, yeah, so if you have some feedback that you want to send our way, you can head over to facebook.com/fandompodcast, comment on things over there, twitter.com/fandomcast, we are at fandomcast, or feedback@fandompodcast.com. So, also, we are doing another Funko Pop giveaway. You've heard me say this for like a month now. Funko Pop giveaway on Valentine's Day. That day is coming up. So make sure that you sign up to be a patron over at patreon.com/fandompodcast before Valentine's Day so that you are entered to win, because we want to give you a Funko Pop. Quick note, we've been talking about Patreon a lot, and I've had somebody say, hey, why are you doing the giveaway just for Patreon? Why don't you do it for like podcast reviews or something like that? And so here's the thing. I would be lying if I said that I didn't want to become a podcast millionaire. But you know, I'm here in the Fandiverse right now, but when I go home, it's up to a place called Reality. I made this joke again next week because
Reality sucks.
I know, right? So Patreon is really the way, for the most part, that we can be in touch with the people who really listen and who really care. Podcast reviews can be faked. Downloads can be purchased. Twitter and Facebook can be manipulated. I'm looking at you, Russia. But
I was going to say, looking at you, Rotten Tomato score of Last Jedi.
Star Wars, yeah.
So, but here's the thing. Seeing somebody put a dollar behind their name to say, hey, I support you, fellow geek, and say, hey, we actually do listen, it is really kind of inspiring and really neat. And we've gotten to know and interact with the people who have done that. So, if you are listening to this and you've thought about pledging, but you're not quite sure if you want to, reach out to us. Send us some questions. The Q&A was a lot of fun, but they can be fandom related or they can be not, whatever you decide. You can send those questions to Facebook, Twitter, or our email, which I just previously said. But just in case, facebook.com/fandompodcast, @fandomcast, and feedback@fandompodcast.com. All right, guys. So We got some affiliate links in the show notes. In case you didn't know, we have an Audible affiliate link.
Wait, hold on. When did that happen?
It's fairly new. CBS All Access. We are getting to the good parts of Star Trek Discovery.
And I need to get caught up.
And with that 7-day free trial, by going to fandompodcast.com/CBS, you can binge the whole thing. We got our Amazon affiliate link in the show notes, and we have all sorts of fun stuff that you can purchase on Amazon because it's Amazon and they have everything. Okay, so with that, until next time.
Hey, did you know the average human body contains enough bones to make an entire human skeleton?
Did you know that's a terrible joke?
Well, I am a dad.
May the fandom be with you.
Hashtag outtakes.
I'm not sure what I just said. It sounds like the joke of, did you know if you took every elephant on Earth and stacked them on top of each other, they'd all die?
I'm sorry, that was funny.
Cigarettes are a lot like hamsters. If you light them on fire and put them in your mouth, it's not healthy.
The one that I always remember is, why did the monkey fall out of the tree? It was dead.
What's green, has four legs, and would kill you if it landed on you? Pool table.
Hey, I like our Laffy Taffy jokes today.
Feedback. Again, I have no sound effect.
When you say the word feedback, are you just going to make a feedback sound? Like
Probably.
Like an annoying screech that you know, makes everyone...
You know, just use that, what Jeff did. Just use that instead.
If you could hear anything, I said it pretty small. Anyway, all feedback. Right. Hey,
dude, Jeff, you should be watching this Marco Polo.
I didn't want to play it in case it made noise. That had to be edited out.
I turned it down. Lena is showing everyone a video of her belly moving around, like little fraggles just like pushing off of her belly. And now there's a picture.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. You can edit this out.
Oh, no, this is all staying in.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Lena, it turns out your child's moving in there. I think there's something in there.
Yeah, it's like a little alien baby in there. This is one of Lena's favorite things to like video. Anyway, it freaks Amy Champion out. Like, she won't watch it. Like, it freaks her out. Like, Amy Champion will be like, she'll be like, "Hey, Amy, look, little Fraggle's moving," and she's like, no, I'm not gonna watch it. It freaks me out. It's weird."
She doesn't accept that there's a child in there.
She has watched either Spaceballs or Aliens one too many times.
Or both. Yuck.
Or both.
Or okay. Both simultaneously synced up to Dark Side of the Moon. That's a thing, right?
I'm pretty sure that I think every movie can be synced up to Dark Side of the Moon.
Carrie Fisher.